Over to you, General.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. And Chair Brigadier Craig Mitchell will lead us quickly through the presentation, and we'll take questions after that.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. The presentation that you're about to see, while it has a different cover page, it's actually embedded within the presentation that was given to you. It's right towards the end of the presentation that was handed out. Just in terms of giving you a bit more information on Operation Back to Basics, the Safer Festive Season 2016-17, there were a couple of issues that we identified and we took into account during planning for Operation Safer Festive Season. And they include a couple of key issues: increased movement of large sums of money, the festive season shopping and entertainment that will take place, which provides an easier soft target, influx of visitors and tourists from inland provinces to coastal provinces, the ingress and outflow of migrant workers across borders, cash demand driving the sale of stolen goods and increase in illegal liquor outlets, women and children, including other vulnerable groups targeted, increase in traffic on all national routes, major international events, current labor disputes related to salary negotiations, and associated with violence in the mining and transport sectors, as well as wildcat strikes. The Operation Back to Basics comprises five phases, which extends from mid-October to the end of January. And the first phase, which is the pre-festive season and closing of schools, extends from the 15th of October to the 30th of November, and obviously this phase has passed. The focus within this phase is just getting the message out there in terms of safer festive season through communication initiatives, cordon and search, your crime prevention operations, your waylay operations, foot patrols, etc., securing and policing of examinations, focusing on the crimes that we know are going to be a problem during this period, and then, of course, the 16 days of activism.
It's part of the back. Because remember, the minister already dealt with the first part in terms of the back to basics. Brigadier?
Honourable Chairperson, I must apologise. When we printed the document, some of the graphics, as you see them in front of you, did not necessarily print, but the wording is there, so the text is there. So, if I may continue, Honourable Chairperson. So in terms of phase two of the festive season, which extends from the 1st of December to the 15th of December, this is the phase that we're currently in. Crime prevention initiatives will be intensified at all tourist and holiday destinations. Undercover operations initiated targeting known drug outlets, enforcement of second-hand goods and liquor acts, deployments along the land borderline coast line as well as ports of entry will be intensified, of course, in partnership with various other government departments. The monitoring of transport industry, including intergroup conflict, responding to medium and high-risk incidents that may materialize during this particular phase with airborne reaction capacity and support, and then the conducting of air-supported crime prevention operations with members of the integrated airborne reaction capacity targeting specific identified locations and targets. That's the South African Air Force working in conjunction with the SAPSIS Air Wing. Phase three, which is the holiday season, starts on the 16th of December and extends to the 2nd of January. Crime prevention operations continue. This is the phase during which the maximum number of personnel members will be deployed to ensure safety and security of personnel gathering at parties, events, etc. Special attention will be given to large gatherings of people. The influx of people and vehicles managed in cooperation with provincial and local authorities, and care taken to ensure the application of Safety at Sports and Recreational Events Act. Phase 4, which is the end of the holiday season, extends from the 3rd of January to the 16th of January 2017. Roadblocks, cordon and search operations launch to concentrate on the seizure of stolen goods. We need to take into account that tertiary institutions will be opening during this period, and the hashtag Fees Must Fall campaign will no doubt materialize again. High visibility patrols and static deployments will be implemented, and the influx of people, including parents and children, in terms of first admissions to schools, will also be monitored. The last phase, which is the post-holiday season extending from the 17th of January to the 31st of January, our crime prevention operations continue. During this period, we expect holidaymakers and migrant workers to return to their places of residence and employment, and there will be a focus on cordon and search operations as well as roadblocks, looking at your key drivers of crime, illegal firearms, drugs, stolen property. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Brigadier. Let's go to questions, members. Honourable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Just one short question on the roadblocks and everything. I like it and it's good and everything. But I just want to ask one question. Is there a specific reason why it is always in peak traffic time? Or not always, but quite a lot of specifically in Gauteng. It's peak time and is there a specific reason?
Honourable Bailey.
Thanks, Chair. Just a question based on an historical issue. One of the issues that came up last year and was a point of contention, at least for, I think, some of the unions, was the use of cadets from the academies as force multipliers. Is that going to be implemented again this year, and have the issues that came up last year in relation to that been ironed out so that we can... Yeah, just not have the same issues. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mulabatsi, then Honourable Ramadakani.
Thank you, Chairperson. I always wonder about this one. Or what happens in an event you are in a roadblock and there is a car that you are searching with a lot of some goods which don't have receipts? Will you call them stolen goods? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just a question on the high density and shopping centres and so on, and the private security. How is the your coordination throughout this festive season with the force multipliers in the form of these kind of private security that are operating, including in the shopping centres, because there will be a focus on the crime in those areas, particularly in December, being areas that largely has money. So the kind of coordinations and visibility, how's that going to work? How is that been fostered?
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I am not hearing any specific preparations or arrangements with regard to this heavy trafficking of stolen vehicles cross borders that are crossing the borders from South Africa to the neighboring countries such as Mozambique and Swaziland, something that is actually threatening the tourist industry in the areas like Tuba, St. Lucia area, Kosi Bay areas. What is the police actually doing in that regard? Because normally during this period there is actually an upsurge of those activities in those areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one question on, I think that will be phase five. Tertiary institutions and school will open during the first week of January. Continuation of Fees Must Fall campaign. I just want to understand what that means. Does it mean that we expect protests again, and what is to happen? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've got just a couple from my... Oh, Onuma Bunda. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is with regard to the involvement of community members during this festive. Looking at the community structures like your CPF and stuff, how is the subs prepared with regard to the interaction with the community structures, like I indicated. Thanks.
Thank you. I've got just two questions from my side. The one relates to the crime stats that was represented by the minister. Now, General, I see contact crime has increased in Eastern Cape considerably. Mpumalanga and Western Cape is still stubborn. And you've got now your regional commissioners. I just want to know, is there specific action plans in the light of the quarter one and two that you're going to do in those three provinces to ensure that we tackle that? The second issue is we've seen recently the killing of three police officers in the Western Cape, and of course, as the portfolio committee, we want to express our condolences to their family and to SAPS. But at one of the memorial services, I think General Masomole indicated steps that SAPS is going to implement. And a lot of those issues was raised previously by the portfolio committee in terms of the vehicles. I think the one lady constable was killed while she was going to serve a protection order. Now, it clearly indicates that even in a supposed safe area, deployment of one or two officers is problematic. So once again, I just want to get an assurance that in terms of analyzing crime hotspots and also the police districts in which it happened, Delft as well as I think Iyanga, I mean, what is being done to really ensure that the cluster commanders and the station commanders make the appropriate steps? Because it seems there is a targeted effort and illegal firearms is part of that, but can we just get an assurance what is currently being done? Because what I've read, what General Masomola said, I mean, a lot of the recommendations from the portfolio committee was included in that, but is it being rolled out? Thank you. Honey?
Just a small follow-up question that, you know, the one area that I posed as a question some time back, General Cruiser, was the issue about the Western Cape and the Western Cape and the management aspect of it. Are you happy with the management? I'm talking about the provincial management in terms of the focus of dealing with the matters of crime in the Western Cape, particularly in terms of the program. My sense from where I'm seated is that there is whole lots of bickering that is taking place, which does not necessarily help the stability. There is a whole lot of bickering, but also the issue about degree of marginalization of other members of the force. You know, there's this tendency in the police that any commissioner has his own group. When the other one leaves, that group is belongs to some others, and the one that comes in comes his own group, and the other group that comes in does not even worry about those that were there, even though they are having necessarily a capacity and knowledge of the police. That's worrying me a great deal, particularly in the Western Cape. Now, I don't know whether that has got any relevance to the what you see Western Cape and the stubbornness in terms of what you do, that affect the issue of the morale and of others, the marginalization aspect. Thank you, sir.
Right, thank you, members, for the questions. Let's go to General Cruiser and his team.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and members. On the issue of the roadblocks, normally we have roadblocks based on trends and intelligence, which we pick up. That's the first point. The second point is specifically Gauteng. If you deal with it in high peak hours, it's very difficult. Because what people do, we do it in low peak hours. They move with a car ahead, they radio, and they then can. So it gives them less time to maneuver around the use of the roadblock. So but mainly around the trends in terms of where the routes we think the stolen goods and drugs are moving on. The possibilities we have intelligence that they might be using on those routes exactly. So it's based on those things. And intelligence normally, we do assessment of where is the best place to place and at the best time. And we have quite significant successes in those roadblocks itself. It's a great inconvenience. I was stuck at the airport for 3 hours. I couldn't get out myself another day. But I think there are benefits out of those inconveniences.
No, exactly what I thought.
Okay, thanks. The use of trainees, yes, we are using trainees. All the trainees have passed out at all our institutions in December, now early December, and they've all been deployed as they've now qualified at the colleges, the ones who are deployed. So they will add visibility in the mall throughout the country itself, specifically where they close the colleges. I can say the trainees, we had a lot of successes already with the trainees. They've done arrested people with legal firearms. They stopped robbery at one of the malls. They've been very successful in halting the use of the trainees there already. So we are getting results on the uses of them. Car searches and receipts, it will depend on the circumstances. If someone has a TV in his car in a box, we can then take the details and the registration of the TV and follow up, obviously, afterwards. We can't just arrest the person on assumption that unless we have proof that the thing is stolen itself. So that's how we deal with that. Issue of high density ops in shopping centers, yes, I think we have, without giving away too much, honorable member itself, we have discussions with all the malls in terms of the movement of the money, the times, and all those sort of things. And there are strategies in place to deal with, but we can't, for operational reasons, give out all those details, but they are in place at all malls. In Gauteng, four robberies took place over the weekend, and based on that, we managed to arrest all those people involved in those issues in the last few weeks. The issue of stolen vehicles, I think if you look at in phase two, honorable member, it's included in there in terms of deployment along the borderline, coastline, quarter indicated to combat cross-border crime. In that thing broadly, that would include what you're saying. So we're deploying additional people on the borderline and border posts for this period from the second phase itself to take into account your concerns, member. Fees must fall, in which we speak about in the fourth place. Yes, our intelligence definitely tells us that we are heading for more fees must fall. Early in the year, I know WITS just announced an increase of 8% in this week, and we're picking up in the meetings that the SOCs are having already. They intend to come back, I think, with a vengeance. So we are planning for that going forward. Community members' involvement, yes, I think it's very critical. We're very clear we cannot police without the communities. I think at our launch, the head of the CPS in the country, the chairperson of the National Board, he even made a speech, and he was saying they were very happy as a CPF with the improved relationships with the CPS throughout the country itself when we launched in Mpumalanga recently. So that was indication for us that we are doing things right. I'm sure there are challenges somewhere, but we are trying our best to ensure that we involve them in all the things we do. The issue of the Eastern Cape, we've all the high crime areas, we had a meeting in November, and Jenda Masamula, together with the regional committees, were tasked to identify those areas and come up with a specific plan, not general plans, on those. It was top, there were 30 areas itself that we identified to be the stubborn areas in these various provinces. So they were tasked together with the regional committees to go and draw a plan and try to address them. They are busy being implemented as we speak now itself. The issue of the killing of police officers in the Western Cape, and not only in the Western Cape, we had quite a few murders in the last few weeks, which is very, very tragic. I think, as Chairman Masamulu said, we are reinforcing the issue of street survival, which is very critical when you go to any scene, that you must always be tactically aware. We're trying to say, we'd rather have three members than two members in a tactical approach, even if it's a simple thing of issuing a protection order, and not to become relaxed. So training has been tasked to really revise that, specifically in the Western Cape, in those areas itself. They're busy with a program to try to ensure that they all comply, because they are trained tactically at the college, and also the station commissions and cluster commands who again reinforced that they have to ensure that the members apply those tactical astuteness and awareness which they were prepared for at college itself. On the issue of the Western Cape management, we have challenges in different parts of the police as we go along, like with any other organization. If there's a specific problem here which you raise, I think we will look into and give a feedback on the matter itself. I think we will note or raise the next commission, and we'll give you feedback on those issues if it's affecting the issue of crime, because we cannot allow our management problems to affect crime, because we serve communities first, and therefore they must come first before other things. So we'll come back on that. I don't know if I've left out anything, Chair. I know it's fine. Chair, leave out any question? Colleagues?
Thank you, General. Any additions? General Scudder. Honorable Obachi, you've indicated.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, there is this thing of carjackings in Gauteng, where I come from. In some areas, some police stations, precincts, it's a known fact that when this particular shift is on duty, there's going to be reported carjackings, which then says there's a collusion between police and these people who steal cars. But now my point is, why are these trends not intercepted? Thanks, Chair.
Any other questions? Maybe the final question from my side. General, we've seen that Operation Lockdown was launched in the Western Cape. I just want to know, is it in the same, is the same model that is used in Nelson Mandela, and is it a prolonged period? I just want to get an indication. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. On the first question on carjackings, yes, Gauteng is a serious problem. We've identified areas, poisons specifically. Together with intelligence, we've launched a medium-term undercover operation. We're busy terminating those projects, and we are starting to arrest. And we think we'll start getting, but we have a specific program just to deal with the issue of high carjackings. Ourselves, the intelligence, and the General Masamola and the detectives. And we made a number of arrests in the last month or so. So we think we are starting to get it as a ticket. But there's a specific plan to deal with those issues.
Thank you, General.
And the collusion.
Yeah, there will be police when they also be arrested in this project. Thanks. On the issue of the Western Cape, we have a program in three specific clusters here. I think it's Nyanga, it's Blue Downs cluster, and what's that? Blue Downs cluster. But there's three high cluster areas where we brought from a national level in different areas surplus members to ensure that we have a similar lock. It has not been as organized as the PE one, because that project we're still going to roll out. But the principle is the same concept we used over December last year, where we closed and have a fixed jock in the area, but it's more on a temporary basis and not on a permanent basis. But there's big numbers brought in to support them around the area over the festive season itself.
Members, is that the questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General Cruiser, and your team in South African Police Service. We wish you well over the festival period while you're going to work, while the rest of South Africa will be on holiday. But, of course, we will have a further interaction in February on the results of the festival operations and, of course, also on the stats. So we wish you well. You are excused. Thank you very much. Members, we continue with our program. Let's go to the minutes. We just got two sets of minutes that we must adopt before we go to the other issues. It's two meetings that was held. Let me get just my set. Yeah, it's the meeting of the 2nd of November. It's a four-page document, as well as the minutes of the meeting of the 30th of November. So, honourable members, let's go to page 1. Any rectifications, errors, or problems? Please raise your hand. Is page 1 fine?
Jefferson?
Yes, Nicolette, you're welcome.
Sorry, Jay, just that we can include the agenda item just below venue. It should just be the Office of the DPCI Judge and the SAPS Research Division.
Thank you very much. The aim of the meeting. Thank you very much for that, Nicolette. That's page 1, colleagues. Let's go to page 2.
Chairperson.
Honorable Markey.
Item number 3, number 1. The Chairperson noticed that the Civilian Secretariat for Police, wouldn't it be better if we say noted the absence or something of that nature?
So you want the word notice to be replaced?
It just doesn't sound right.
Observed, maybe observed?
Or noted the absence.
Okay, noted. Okay, thank you for that. We'll mean that.
And on to one of the committee members wanted to know. It also doesn't seem right.
You've got a suggestion?
Yeah, maybe.
Inquired whether the DPCR judge, will that suffice? Inquired whether...
No, just...
I think you can delete one and start with the capital there.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Anything else on 2? Is 2 fine?
2 fine.
Let's go to 3.
Back on number 3.2, where it says he emphasized the point that the CSP is responsible for ensuring an adequate legislative framework. It doesn't say who is he.
On page 3, the first line at the end of it, DPCI judge was away, not has away.
Yeah, thank you. Honorable Bailey.
Thanks, Chair. Just a grammar issue on point 5, also page 3. The committee asked if the mandated awareness campaigns were done. And because that's plural, it should then be, and whether they served their purpose, not it served its purpose.
That we amend accordingly.
Point number 11. Members wanted to know what the procedure for referring complaints that fall outside the mandate of the DPCI judge for investigation. There's something I missed there.
Number 17, the CPCI judge was requested to provide a breakdown of expenditure for goods and services,
Thank you very much. A judge was asked to elaborate on the sanctions leveled against members who are found guilty.
before, Chairperson. As it seems that the powers it has, not to have. Second line of 22.
Number 25, the club was asked when it is expecting to see the results on the research that are listed on the document or that were listed on the document.
Requesting if I have a permission to move the minutes with the amendment.
Under four, second line, should all in office not be capitalized? Just double checking from earlier on. Yeah, that's the title of it.
Chairperson, status of Honorable Mavunda, is it appropriate to say other? I don't know how he's supposed to be called, but alternate or something. I think other wouldn't be right.
Yeah, officially he's not a member or alternate, so he's a member. So. The advice I'm getting here from the table staff is other is fine, but if you've got a better proposal, let's hear it.
No, I thought that there was a template or something. I don't have an idea. Thank you.
So we'll sustain that other. Thank you. Thank you for raising that on the market. Colleagues, anything else in one?
On 3,
yes.
I don't know the sentence. Okay, no, it's fine.
Just maybe a detail in all of the points from 3 to I guess 21 is whether the correct wording is that there was an adoption of the meeting or the adoption of the minutes?
Minutes.
Yeah, so all the meetings should be minutes, yeah.
Chairperson, closing remarks, second sentence, remaining set of minutes of the meeting held on the second. Held, it's written held 2nd November.
Thank you very much. Thank you, members. Mm. Thank you.
this way for 2016. Is it 2016 or
2017?
It is
2017. We're going to repeat the year.
Yeah.
No, that's not right. It's ground our day. It starts from the beginning. Thank you for the word. That's very constructive for us. Now, your colleagues may just do that in June. There is currently two options for the first 2 weeks when we come back. If there is approval from the RCA regarding the study tour, that will take place. If it falls through and there's no permission, we will kick in with the suggested dates in terms of the briefing by SACS, CSP, Hyper, and CIRA on the triple R and triple R.
So, Chair, what about the papers in?
No, I mean, there is a process in by the House Chair, and we must just await that process. The submission is with him, so we'll await. But we'll inform him as... Right, thank you for that. Members, and then the rest of the term, the proposal is we will have a joint meeting with Social Development and the Select Committee on the DVA and Child Justice Act. That's matters that we have not been able to get to deal with. Then there's a few petitions that we received from members of the public. We must deal with that in February. Then the issue of the specialized units, progress report. Then the issue of procurement and parliament, and also follow up on IPIT and the farm progress report. But members, if there is a tabling of the a report by the judge, of course we will put that on the table in the first week. So this is the current draft program. Any input from members? And crime stats as well. Honourable Ramatlakane.
No, Chair, I think it's a good draft for us to work or to work on. If any other matters come, we can always amend the report, I mean the our year planner. So I would think that we should, as committee, accept this draft. This is given an indication what will happen as the year begins.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just want to find out what the impact would be to the programs of the committee. I mean, the current court case that is taking place regarding the status of General Clemenceau. If the court were to decide that indeed he does not have any integrity, will that actually solicit any kind of action on our part as committee? Or it's a matter between the minister and...
No, it's a question of speculation. I think we will have to await the outcome of the court. If there is a certain outcome, will parties appeal, you know, the whole that process. And so we will have to await that whole process. And then so it's very... But I mean, as we said in the past, this committee, if there's an issue of public importance, we bring it to the committee. We don't hide it and don't deal with it for 2 or 3 years. And I'm not referring to other committees, but this committee, if there's a matter of public importance, we deal with it. So please, don't... you can be assured we will deal with it effectively. Right, that is then the program. Thank you, members, but we will communicate with you if that study tour is on or not. Then we come to, I think, the final issue of the day. Yes, Honourable Mabija. Is it an amendment or a proposal? Because there was already a proposal for adoption, but I mean, if it's a...
Yes, I'm not saying anything against this. I just want to say something.
You're welcome.
I should think this international study tour, it must be materialistic. It must happen.
Yeah.
Because we are always seated being briefed, year in, year out, year in, year out. We don't even have time to go out and see what's happening. And some other committees are going in, out, outside. And we just stick to briefings, and that is not a good move. We also need to be moving to places because we have our own budget, just like these other committees. Thank you.
We note that input. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, still on that, the adoption of this, does it mean it's as it is? Because if I remember very well, there's something like Northern Ireland on it, but I don't see it here. Has it been phased out?
No. Maybe just to indicate, remember this proposal was that we submitted is part of the proposal that went there last year. It's three places in terms of it's the UK, Northern Ireland, and then France. But of course, depending on budget and approval, we'll have to await the outcome.
Right.
Thank you very much, members. Can we maybe move on? I know these items is usually heavily debated. Yes, Alma Bija.
I should say we don't even have to talk about the budget. We do have budget as a committee. A budget of our own that must be used. We have never used it. Our budgets should not be environment to another committee to be going out or already have used our budget to go somewhere. We need to go. We have a budget. Every committee has got its own budget for these trips.
I'm going to use now my powers in the new rules, and I'm going to rule that we move on to the next subject.
Sorry, Chairperson. But today we are closing. When is he going to approve it?
No, because I can't.
Today is our last day.
Yeah.
When is he going to?
We will communicate. Thank
tell
you.
Tell him that we are fighting now. We
thank
want
you very much.
Next year.
Colleagues, we...
Chairperson, I would suggest that those people come here to see how we handle crime in South Africa.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Let's go to the last item. Now, on the ATC of Monday, 28 November, can I just quote for that? And I think the document was made available to members. The speaker, one, a referral to committee, to committees of papers tabled, one. The following paper is referred to the Portfolio Committee on Police for consideration. A, letter dated 10 November. Can we just have order in the house? Thank you. Letter dated 20 November 2016 from the Minister of Police requesting the Assembly to mandate the Portfolio Committee on Police to consider exercising its powers in terms of subsections 17DA3 and 17DA7 of the South African Police Service Act 1995, number 68 of 1995, as read into section 66 of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Act. I think there's a typo from Parliament. Number 1 of 2011 by the Constitutional Court in its order in McBride versus Minister of Police and another 2016 ZA-CCC30. No, there's a typo. Now, members, the letter, I think, was made available. I just want to check if everybody got a letter, a copy of the letter. Is it before us? Both of the letters.
Chair, we only have the letters that was addressed to the speaker.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. All right.
It's 10 November. The letter is dated 10 November. And there's a further one, but the 10 November letter is the one that's been referred to us. Has that been circulated? Right. Right, colleagues, the matter is on the table. Let's get input. Honourable Mbele and then Honourable Marke. Yes. I just want to make sure everybody's got a copy. Yeah. Because I don't want to proceed if everybody's not okay with the issues. Right, Honourable Bailey, then Honourable Markey. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. The issue did come up a bit earlier on in our interaction with the Minister, and the Minister did agree with me that there is that question about at least the first step or the detail of the first step in how we process this matter. I'm very firmly of the view that any process based on section 17DA 3 to 7 as it's been read into the IPED Act is not the correct first step, because it's in a rare moment of agreement that the Minister and I are of the view that that's proceedings with a presupposition, because they are clearly outlined as removal proceedings in the Act. There first needs to be, whereas the inquiry the Minister is asking for in the headline of the letter is a different matter entirely. So my recommendation, and I think the allegations are serious, therefore they should be tested, and Parliament is an appropriate forum. So my recommendation at this stage would be that it's rather proceeding from the premise of an inquiry from the National Assembly rules, in which we can have representations from both the Minister, which he had done before in terms of the Vaxman's reports, but then we can then also have the input and submission from Mr. McBride and any other relevant parties, and then we can process at that stage, because whatever the outcome of that, it's about a recommendation from the committee, which then gets tabled to the House, and the House can then take a resolution which might then trigger the Section 17DA process. But we're way before that at this stage. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey, for that input. Honourable Mark, and then Honourable Nkonku.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I think for now the matter is still, the referral is still a bit confusing, and we would definitely need some legal advice, because according to me nothing has changed. I mean it's like so my suggestion would be that we get legal advice on the procedures that we as a committee must take in case of a referral like this one. So I would suggest that we just note that we received the referral, but we would need to understand what is the difference between this referral and what was first the court judgment, and so on and so on. To take a step from now, I don't even have an idea or what is the procedure, what do we need to do from here, and so on. So I would suggest that we just note that we received the letter from the Speaker until we are sure where we are going from here. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to maybe, before I give Honourable Groenewald the opportunity, with the PAC there's also a legal opinion from Parliamentary, but the view I think I get from Honourable Markey that we get the additional opinion. Yes, Honourable Groenewald?
Chair, the way I understand it is that firstly the procedure, if we continue with an investigation, is one issue, and we can get the legal advice and everything like that. The way I understand this is that there is a request that we start an investigation. And the moment we make a decision here today, the way I understand it, is that if we say, right, we will start with this investigation, then the Minister of Police may suspend McBride. That's the way I see the result of such a decision to do that. On the other side, I don't see that we even have a choice as far as that is concerned, because it's part of legislation that if there is misconduct when it comes to the executive director, then the committee must make a finding. So if I am correct, I will propose that yes, we start such an investigation, and if I look at the documents in front of us, then I would also say that Mr. McBride must then be suspended until the completion of the investigation.
remember also the issue of the previous legal opinion by Advocate Bernara. We indicate that the suspension can only come into play if there is a House resolution. So you must also take... So we're not there yet. I mean, there's no, from a pure legal point of view, there is no House resolution at this stage. But let's debate it. Honourable Robert Akani.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. My take on this letter, number one is that we can't change the content of the letter that comes from the Minister of Police as a committee to remodify it to suit what we would know as the rules of Parliament. Otherwise, we can't say now because there is this letter and the letter here is wrongly phrased, we're not there, and therefore we're now modifying it based on this letter. We're now going to start our inquiry to see whether there is a prima facie case. The best way to deal with it for me is that if this letter, as you sit here, the letter that has been sent to the speaker, and the matter is referred to us, and to achieve what the letter seeks to achieve, you would need the House resolution in the first place. The House must say we are appointing this committee or that committee to investigate this particular matter, and here are the terms of reference for what this committee need to do, and based on that resolution we then come and sit as a committee and we say here's a mandate, we now need this and we now need that, we now need that. That for me is the only way we can deal with this particular matter. Anything else will be found wanting in the process. So I think that both the Honorable Mbele's suggestions, I think there was an earlier discussion with the Minister about understanding that the bar that what he seeks to achieve with this letter is completely wrong, because we must apply our mind as Parliament on the matter that is before us. And if the matter is before us and we apply our mind, we want to institute this, then we must do so. But we can't simply just take the content here and then make it in the agenda. So my suggestion, Chair, is that we say as a committee, we have noted this letter that has been submitted by the Minister, but as we sit here, we don't have a mandate for this committee to start this inquiry that the Minister seeks to do. For us to happen, that will have to be a House resolution that will set out the terms of reference and the veracities, what is it that we're going to do. Now, that's my firm proposal. I want to agree with Honorable Mark that I think we should note it and say that we, at this stage, we can't start the proceeding up until the House decide whether the House give us a mandate to do so by form of a resolution of the House. That's a formal proposal that we need. I don't want us to try and jiggle around and want to achieve what the Minister wants to achieve by saying we start at the lower end and we still don't have the resolution, because the outcome expected is a removal of office from office. That's what the letter says here. That's what the law seeks to achieve. So that will be my suggestion, Chair, that I think for now, I think that the wise thing to do as a committee is that we note this letter, but we don't have a mandate that in terms of the House resolution to embark on this process, full stop.
Honourable Bija and then Honourable Groenewald.
A question of clarification. Somewhere I'm getting lost. We received a letter from the Speaker of the House, isn't it? And I was regarding the Speaker as the House, as is the leader of the... If it's not like that, then let me stop there. I just wanted to be clear there.
Honourable Groenewald, thank you, Honourable Mabija.
Thank you. I will second the proposal from the Honorable Ramat Lakhani, as far as that is concerned. I was actually under the impression we already went through that process, but we cannot continue before there's a resolution of the House. In fact, the House can even decide to establish an ad hoc committee, not specifically the police, the portfolio committee, but if the resolution is that the police committee do so, maybe I'm wrong, but then we can continue, but we cannot do anything before that. So I second that proposal.
Are the members in agreement? Honourable Bele?
Chair, I understand the legal logic that's been proposed by Honourable Ramat Lakhani, because that's operating within the parameters as set currently by the SAPS Act as read into the IPED Act. Is that the only discernible trigger mechanism, as the minister calls it, is a House resolution? My concern is twofold, though, in that regard. One is that this House resolution, literally as the Act says, it will be adoption by the National Assembly of a resolution calling for that person's removal from office. Now, I don't understand how one can call for removal from office before you've established the merits of the allegation that they are guilty of something, which is where I then hook in the only other legal premise I can think of for an inquiry process, which is the rules of the National Assembly. And I always get a bit confused when members of the House are reluctant to use the powers and the legal framework of the House. We have the power and the means to use the rules of the National Assembly to pursue such inquiry processes, and that gives much firmer legal ground as a kind of launch pad. Whether the committee that follows this resolution is then ad hoc, or the portfolio committee is then another matter. But I think just going to the House and saying, here's the resolution, let's vote on whether or not we're going to begin proceedings to remove McBride, to me is putting the cart before the horse. It needs to be motivated while we're calling for the removal, even if at that point it's just prima facie. Yeah.
Honorable Ramat Lakhani, and then Honorable Vijay.
So with respect, my view is not that. Certainly the resolution, the House will apply its might to a resolution that it needs to adopt with respect to dealing with McBride or iPad matter. And certainly it has to say, the normal resolution that you see in the House, it says investigate. The terms of reference will include investigate this matter. For you to investigate that matter, there will be whole lot of other documents that you will receive in investigating the matter to find and make a recommendation to the House. So that's really what I'm saying. It's not necessarily the resolution that I'm talking about. The House may decide differently. The House may apply its mind to decide differently, and we can't decide for the House. And the House must come up with that resolution. The entire House must adopt it. And that terms of reference are subject to a discussion by the House to say, we don't agree with this, terms of reference must be modified in this way and that way. And once that process has been finalized, then whichever committee is instituted will then carry out that mandate based on that terms of reference. Anything else is hypothetical in the discussion here, because we don't know what the mind of the House is going to be in the question of the resolution itself.
How it could be that the mind of the House is that we have an ad hoc committee, then it will be, the matter will be seated in good hands. Thank you.
Right, thank you very much, members. I think there is Honourable Bele.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit clearer in terms of what Honourable Ramat Lakhani is saying. So I guess my final position would be this. If any resolution, draft resolution that comes before the House is one that is about saying, this request has been made by the minister to the speaker. It's being put before the House, given that he doesn't have the power to take it any further. And then the House must decide whether it's an ad hoc committee going forward, that's one thing and that's fine. But if the resolution cites Section 17DA3 subsection B, I will oppose that, because we aren't at the point of initiating removal proceedings.
Right, thank you very much, Mims. I think there is consensus amongst everybody that we take note of the request. You're welcome. You want to go?
Yeah, I need to report what I need.
Yeah, you're welcome to go. Right, thank you very much. Members, then we come to the end of this meeting. I want to thank everybody, all the... Yes, Honourable Groenewald.
Chairperson, sorry, I just want to make sure the report we're going to receive this afternoon. More or less one... Or do I have it wrong now?
You mean the report of the Acting National Commissioner? That report?
Yes.
Yeah, no, they must make... It's a thick document, so we'll ask the Secretary...
Yes, it's on the House. That's the way I understood it. Is it correct?
What report?
That report you're talking about.
Honourable Groenewald, are you talking about the report that was tabled by the Acting National Commissioner?
That's correct.
Yeah, that report we will ask the Secretary to make copies and distribute to members. Yes.
Okay.
Right. I think there is copies of the letter that was addressed already made available. Not yet. Okay, we'll just ask the Secretary. There's a cover letter, 2-pager, that must be made available. And of course the report itself. Right, thank you. Well, I'm hopefully the Secretary can do it in the next 2 hours. Yeah, thanks. But I mean, we will deal with it when we come back. Members, I just want to now close the meeting. Members, yes, this is our 47th meeting of the year. 47th meeting of the year and our final one. So I want to thank, firstly, our content advisor, the researchers, the secretariat for their hard work. A lot of reports, a lot of hours, working very hard of professional quality. So thank you to them, and we wish them a good rest period, because when we come back in January, February, there's a lot of things on the table. I also want to thank the members for their hard work, input, the way they interact in the committee. It's of high quality, and I think we must just ensure that we keep doing our work, and that's oversight and accountability. No politics really, but it's accountability and ensuring that we keep the executive to account. Thank you very much. Enjoy the year.
Sorry, Chair, can I just think I'm the longest serving member in the committee, yeah. From the committee side.